The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. This is The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I was joking that my retirement was going to be funded by being a sperm donor and a blood donor. Clean blood, non-GMO sperm, highly active, high motility. And I was joking, but I wasn't, right? Because this is where we're headed. I can see it. Here's my superpower, folks. I can see around corners. I am excellent at pattern recognition, right? So it's almost like some guys would have to calculate, do the trigonometry in their head to be able to catch a fly ball in the outfield. But a great ball player just has an instinct for it, right? Just knows exactly where the ball's headed, knows how fast he has to run and in what direction to get there right when the ball gets there to make the catch. It's an instinct. He couldn't explain it to you if you asked him, how do you know how to do that? No, what do you mean no? I just do, right? And that's the way it is with me and seeing around corners. I saw this whole thing with the mRNA jabs coming because I knew about the technology already. Fauci tried for 30 years to get these vaccines approved. Not vaccines, to get these mRNA injections approved for HIV. He was called out twice by Congress for lying to the Army. No penalties. But it's not like all of a sudden they said, hey, why don't we try this? Here's a new idea. Why don't we try this and see if this works? No, they'd done it for 3 decades and it didn't work. They couldn't get it past FDA. The only way that they were able to get this poison on the market is under an EUA, an emergency use authorization, that required the declaration of a national emergency. So here we are, 2 years after the quote-unquote pandemic is over. It's a full 2 years since the pandemic ended, if you look at the statistics. And yet, we're still under a national emergency. Even though it wasn't extended, it wasn't ended. Just like last year, they said that they weren't going to allow PCR tests anymore. Remember this? July of 2021, FDA came out and said PCR tests are no longer approved for diagnostic use for COVID-19, effective December 31st. Wait, either they're effective or they're not effective. If they don't work in July, why are you letting them be used up until the end of the year? Because this whole thing has been a clown show. It's been power plus profit equals control. That's the equation of everything that's gone on. Power plus profit equals control. The company's got profit. Pfizer made back the $1.4 billion fine that it had to pay for fraudulent marketing a few years ago. Biggest fine in the history of the pharmaceutical industry, $1.4 billion with a B dollars. So it was a way to reimburse Pfizer for that fine. It was a way to keep Moderna, which 20 years in still didn't have a product on the market. It was a way to bail out the investors in Moderna, the venture capitalists that had funded Moderna. Okay, that's the profit aspect of it. And the power aspect of it is the government, what the government did. Do this, don't do that. Masks don't work. Yes, they do. Wear them. Flip-flopping Fauci. Masks don't work. Yes, they do. You must wear them. Ivermectin is horse paste. Oh, no, that was just a recommendation. Meanwhile, CVS, Walgreens, corporate pharmacies, doctors wouldn't write it. Insurance companies were threatening the licenses of doctors if they wrote a prescription for HCQ or ivermectin. And if you could find a doctor that would write you a prescription for it, life-saving medicine, hundreds of thousands of lives would have been saved if the left didn't stand up against HCQ and ivermectin. If you could find a doctor that would write the prescription, the corporate pharmacies wouldn't fill it. Meanwhile, it's so safe and effective as an antiparasitic that it won the 2015 Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology. It's not horse paste. It was developed for human use. They figured, oh, if it works for humans, it'll work for horses. So they developed it into an animal product, but it wasn't. It's not horse paste. And now they're coming out. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, it works. Yeah, it's got certain antiviral properties. It does, it looks like it does. It does prevent COVID-19 infection. And oh, yeah, by the way, it's got some anti-cancer properties too. And yet you still have mouth-breathing morons out there. It's horse paste. Shut up, Karen. So, yeah, I can see around corners. And I saw very early on, and I joked about it on Twitter and on Facebook. You know, it's going to be $50,000 per natural insemination. We'll try this month. Get pregnant, great. If you don't, we'll try again next month. If you need blood, it's going to be $10,000 a pint. I mean, I figure if the hospitals can charge $600 for a bag of saline, I should be able to get $10,000 for a pint of clean blood. Right? You'd think, based on hospital economics, right? So yeah, I was joking, but I wasn't joking because I saw where this was headed. And sure enough, unvaccinated blood sees a demand increase all around the world. Is it safe to get a blood transfusion from a donor or donors who got, quote unquote, vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus? Many say no, which all around the world is generating increased demand for, quote unquote, clean blood. Article on AmericaFirstReport.com. Now we know jabbed blood is tainted blood. Many are demanding pure or safe blood from sources that were never contaminated with messenger RNA, mRNA, spike proteins, and the many other contaminants found in COVID vials. So there you have it. There's even a parallel blood bank that's being set up only for unjabbed blood. You think sperm banks are going to be far behind? Oh, no, they are not. Looks like Timbo will be getting that nice house on Nantucket after all, folks. We had another one, died suddenly. Dog the Bounty Hunter co-star David Robinson, dead at 50. Cacked on a Zoom call. They're dropping dead left and right all around us. But do people notice? No, they make all sorts of excuses. And here's the thing, okay? Before all this, Meshuggah, guess what the leading cause of death was in America? That's right, heart disease. So now you're left not knowing, well, was it really heart disease? Was it because he could never drive by Krispy Kreme or Kentucky Fried without paying his respects? Was it because he didn't exercise and he smoked like a chimney? Or was it the jab? Used to be died suddenly or after a brief illness meant that the person killed themselves. And we know that suicide's really high now because people are so depressed after the lockup. You know, lockdown is a prison term, right? The term lockdown, it's a prison term. You lock down the cell block. If somebody's attacked or if contraband is found, or if there's something going on, they put the whole cell block into lockdown. Let things cool off. So they used a prison term on us, folks. Our governments saw us as prisoners to be controlled. Power plus profit equals control. And now people are dropping dead left and right, and you got to wonder, you know, people, these died suddenly. It's like, well, did they kill themselves? Did they really have a heart attack or a stroke? Or was it the clot shot? If they wake up dead, did they overdose on fentanyl? Or so that's why I think we need full transparency as to causes of death. You know, no more family privacy. Cause of death needs to be listed on the death certificate, available for public inspection. Because you want to know, right? If somebody died of a real honest-to-goodness heart attack, yeah, the guy needed a quadruple bypass and didn't get it, and his heart was like a rock with all the bacon grease in there. You want to know that. Somebody OD'd on fentanyl because the weed they were smoking had been laced with fentanyl. You're going to want to know that. Somebody tragically gave up hope, which is one of the greatest sins, despair, and killed themselves. You need to know that. And yes, if somebody died from the clot shot, we need to know that too. We need full transparency on this. So, yep. Dog the Bounty Hunter, co-star David Robinson, dead at 50 after suffering, quote-unquote, stroke or heart attack on a Zoom call. A lot of others are dropping dead, too, left and right. And speaking of dropping dead, professionally, fake news super spreader Chris Cillizza is out at CNN in the latest round of layoffs. And can you believe Don Lemon actually got on Stephen Colbert's show and said, well, CNN's never been liberal. Are you kidding me? He actually is right, though. CNN isn't liberal. CNN is hardcore progressive communist. Hardcore. So is the Washington Post. Right in China, the citizens are protesting against Xi Jinping's COVID tyranny, the lockdowns, welding people into their homes, welding people into an apartment building that then caught on fire, and so men, women, and children incinerated because they couldn't get out the fire exits because they were welded shut. In the Washington Post's, one of the Washington Post resident fascists, Taylor Lorenz, came out and she was celebrating the lockdowns. Taylor, honey, next time you might want to keep your mouth shut, let people wonder whether you're stupid, then open it. Prove them right. You know, but what do you expect from Taylor? She puts out tweets like, there's no lasting, quote unquote, natural immunity to COVID. You can get COVID over and over and over and over again because there are so many endlessly evolving strains and antibodies. Wayne! Congratulations, Taylor. You correctly understand how coronavirus work. And now you know why. We don't have a cure for the common cold because 40% of common colds are caused by coronavirus. And that's what coronavirus do. Endlessly evolving strains, antibodies wane, you get a cold. But I'll tell you, folks, you take care of yourself. Timbo hasn't had a cold in I honestly can't remember the last time I was sick. I think the last time I had the flu, it was over 15 years ago. And last time I had a head cold, it had to be over 10 years ago. Because I take care of myself. I take vitamin D3 every day. I take vitamin C, vitamin B complex. I take selenium. I take zinc. I take magnesium. Take it every day. You got to give your body what your body needs to take care of itself. You're listening to The Reckoning. I'm Timothy Shea.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
Some California workers who have won a lawsuit against the Goleta Water District, which is in Santa Barbara, California. Now, the idea behind the case was that these five plaintiffs who worked for the Goleta Water District claimed that they were discriminated against for the fact that they requested and got religious exemptions to avoid mandated vaccination. The lawyer for this group, Maria Gondero, said that I believe that we can use it in other cases as a precedent. Aha. So each plaintiff is going to receive the $25K and, you know, we'll take the wins where we can get them. So in this suit, the causes of action were violations of constitutional free speech of religion and the Fair Employment and Housing Act. So they took this to court and they won the settlement. So we will see what happens.
The program and Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is today's news talk.
Talking is a good thing.
And the voice of freedom.
Let's listen now.
Now, right now.
TNT.
Let's try something new tonight. If you go to tntradio.live on either your phone or your tablet or your computer, in the lower right-hand corner, there's going to be a little pop-up TNT Radio Talk to Us, a little chat function. So if you want to chat during the show, when I'm doing monologues, I can monitor the chat. You can type your end of the conversation, and I'll just talk to you. If you want to ask questions, go to tntradio.live, use the chat function. You know, this, we're not crazy. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're people who are trying to save you from yourself. We're people who are trying to save you from your government. We're people who are trying to wake you up and potentially save your life. Right? This myocarditis thing, these gene jabs, it's not a joking matter. More people have died from these injections, from these injections, than died from COVID-19. More people died from the hospital protocol of remdesivir and ventilators than died from COVID-19. They're killing us intentionally. They know remdesivir and ventilators don't work. They've known it for 2 years now. Remdesivir, they knew longer than that. They had to stop a study. They were looking at remdesivir, antiviral drug, to stop Ebola. So they had people that were infected with Ebola testing remdesivir, and then to stop the study because ethically they couldn't continue it because more people were dying from the remdesivir than were dying from the Ebola. Think about that. It was unethical to give remdesivir to people with Ebola. Maybe that's why we had mouth-breathing morons running around in April. I'll never forget the Karen, the male Karen. What's a male Karen? I guess we can call him a Ken, right? I had this Ken doll on Facebook. It's a long
Dung Eater! It's literally airborne Ebola!
Yeah, it's actually neither of those things. Definitely not airborne Ebola. Maybe that's why they were putting out that airborne Ebola. Hey, we're using remdesivir. Yeah, they used remdesivir against Ebola. That's what we need to do. We need to use remdesivir against this because they use remdesivir against Ebola. So we need to use remdesivir against COVID-19. No, they stopped using remdesivir against Ebola because it was unethical to continue using remdesivir against Ebola because more people were dying from the remdesivir than were dying from the Ebola. Wake up. So how many people did we kill with remdesivir? How many people did we kill with ventilators? Ventilators are absolutely the last thing you should be using to treat a COVID-19 patient. They didn't use what works, HCQ, ivermectin, inhaled budesonide. Why? Because if there were early treatments, you couldn't keep the emergency use authorization in place. If treatment, then no EUA, because no emergency, there's treatment. So you've got to demonize the treatment so you can keep the EUA. Why? Because you need the EUA to make billions of dollars off of these injections that don't work and have never been able to be approved before. Do you see what was done? It was criminal what was done. They denied people access to life-saving drugs so that they could maintain the fiction that there was an emergency, so that they could allow under an emergency use authorization the marketing, distribution, and use of drugs that they knew would kill people for money and control. It's criminal what our government and what Big Pharma has done to us. We need Nuremberg 2.0. We also need, take a page from South Africa's book, we need truth and reconciliation councils. Except unlike in South Africa, apologies must be mandatory. And so must long prison sentences, right? We need to get Fauci in front of a truth and reconciliation committee. And he's got two options. Apologize and tell the truth about everything you did or face the death penalty. Not apologize if you feel like it. Right? It's an if-then flowchart. If apologize and come clean, then no death penalty. If no apology and no full disclosure, then death penalty. You think I'm kidding? I'm absolutely not kidding. We need a truth and reconciliation committee, and the two options have to be life in prison or death penalty, because these people are murderers. They're mass murderers. They committed genocide, and they did it for profit and control, or profit and power to increase their control. And I'm not kidding about any of that. I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not being snarky. I'm not joking at all. Tragic story of a 14-year-old vaccine myocarditis victim, one of umpteen males misinformed by health authorities. This is a great Substack, Rav Arora. So go to Rav Arora, R-A-V-A-R-O-R-A, ravarora.substack.com. You can see the article. On May 12th of last year, school teacher Emily Jo took her 14-year-old son Aiden to get his first Pfizer vaccine dose. And again, I use vaccine advisedly, right? The public health authorities and her son's pediatrician unanimously recommended vaccination, prompting her decision. She knew that mRNA shots caused some number of adverse events, like all vaccines, but was reassured by the CDC and White House's public recommendation. Meanwhile, those under 20 are precisely at 0.0001% risk of dying from COVID. No medical necessity or even recommendation for them to get these shots. And yet the government pushed them because power plus profit equals control. Quote, the talk amongst the mainstream medical community was that vaccine myocarditis was mild and that this was very rare, Emily Jo said. At that time, despite alarming heart inflammation reports from Israel, the CDC publicly claimed to have found no signal of myocarditis after investigating over 200 million administered doses. Moreover, Emily Jo was never warned of the myocarditis risk or informed about the risk-benefit profile. That's because if you opened the box and looked to see the insert, if you asked the pharmacist to see the insert, it was a blank piece of paper. You know those inserts that are all folded up when you get your prescription and you unfold them and unfold them and unfold them and unfold them, and it's a huge sheet of paper with really tiny print with all the legalese and the disclaimers and all the everything on it that you're deemed to have absorbed and know everything about before you take your first pill? Yeah, that was a blank sheet of paper. And in big block letters, it said, this page intentionally left blank. One woman, God love her, she was filming. She went to her pharmacist and she said, may I see the COVID-19 vaccine product insert? And he said, sure, I've got one right here. And he goes and he opens the box and he takes out the little piece of paper. It's folded. It's like, right? So it's like 2 centimeters by 7 or 8 centimeters. And then you unfold it, unfold it, unfold it. And it's this huge piece of paper. It's literally, this one was like 2 feet by 3 feet. It was enormous. And he keeps unfolding and he keeps unfolding and he keeps unfolding and he keeps unfolding. And he gets more and more bewildered as he keeps unfolding. And he has it all unfolded, and then he turns it over and he turns it back to the front side. And he goes, looks at the woman, said, there's nothing on it. And she said, exactly. How long have you been a pharmacist? He said, almost 30 years. She said, how many times have you looked at a product insert and seen it be completely blank? He said, never. This is the first time. He goes, oh my God, what have I done? He said, I can't give these injections anymore. And good on him for honesty. He was a man who really didn't know. All too many did know. His bosses certainly knew. So Emily Jo continues, when I took Aiden to get his vaccines at the drive-through vaccination site, there was no warning about myocarditis. We were not counseled about any side effects to be aware of. And in the name of public safety, scientific innovation, and personal health, Emily Jo sent out a celebratory tweet proclaiming she and her family are, quote-unquote, so thankful their teenage son was able to get vaccinated. Emily Jo at EekyMom, EekyMom, on May 12, 2021. My 14-year-old got his first COVID vaccine today. We are so thankful, with the syringe emoji. However, her pride and relief turned out to be tragically short-lived. 2 days after her son's second vaccine dose, which he got a month after his first, he ended up in the hospital after experiencing severe chest pain. He was moved to a room on the acute cardiac floor where he was found to have elevated troponin levels, a key sign of heart damage, and an abnormal electrocardiogram. Mind you, he's 14 years old. Every doctor Emily Jo spoke to at the pediatric hospital, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, confirmed her son had vaccine-induced myocarditis. Given her son's dire condition, Emily worried Aiden might die or suffer from a catastrophic injury. Thankfully, after 4 distressful days at the hospital, Aiden's troponin levels returned to baseline and he was discharged. However, this didn't mean that he could return to his normal life. Aiden was unable to do physical activity for 6 months. I broke my wrist when I was 14. I was in a cast for 6 weeks. I was climbing the walls. because of how it limited my physical activity. Now you're telling a 14-year-old boy he can't do anything for 6 months? Are you kidding me? Sports, hikes, and other forms of exercise were deemed too dangerous for his heart, which is a typical consequence of myocardial injuries. Emily Jo said, I had no idea how life-altering, quote-unquote, myocarditis actually is. I have a very hard time with the label mild for anything that requires hospitalization and months of inactivity. You know, that's best case scenario, folks. Best case scenario is that you got to go to hospital and can't do anything for half a year. That's the best case scenario with this, right? And the most serious concern with Aiden's vaccine injury isn't the harrowing experience itself, but the frequency at which it occurs. Virtually any substance or medication will produce a diverse range of reactions across the human population. That's completely normal. Some people are allergic to eggs. Most people aren't. Some people are allergic to peanuts. Most people aren't. Some people get blisters when they contact poison ivy. Some people don't. But the rare incidence of life-threatening anomalies doesn't mean that these things should be banned altogether, right? If it's rare and tragic interactions with any kind of externality, whether it's alcohol, cigarettes, peanuts, they're often exaggerated and exploited, right, to justify irrational ideological agendas. You pick the worst case scenario and make that the norm to buttress your argument, right? That's not a legitimate rhetorical technique. It's dishonest. But in the case of COVID-19 vaccines causing myocarditis, Rav continues, we aren't dealing with trivial ratios of 1 in a million or even 1 in 10,000. Among the most robust data we have, and this is according to Dr. Tracy Beth Hogue, who's the Florida Health Department, and Dr. Marty McCary, who's at Johns Hopkins University, and Dr. Katie Scharf, who, by the way, had her young son vaccinated. So it's not like she's a quote-unquote anti-vaxxer. These three doctors, Dr. Hogue, Dr. McCary, and Dr. Scharf, analyzed a wide database from Kaiser Permanente, going beyond other study methods. Scharf found a number of vaccine myocarditis cases that weren't explicitly labeled as such or were outside the parameters of the CDC vaccine safety search. After she performed an exhaustive search of the Kaiser medical records, she and her colleagues found a 1 in 1,862 rate of myocarditis after the second dose in young men 18 to 24. Think about that. 1 in 1,862. That means if 1.8, 1.9 billion people got this, then a million people now have myocarditis. Million people. For boys aged 12 to 17, the rate was 1 in 2650. Slightly better. Still bad. Right? That's 600,000 people. Countries with active surveillance monitoring of the medical data, show virtually identical figures. Hong Kong showed almost identical figures. the risk of vaccine-induced myocarditis remains elevated for men up to the age of 40. Meanwhile, the risk from COVID-19 for men up to the age of 40 is negligible. Negligible. Why on earth would you inject yourself with an experimental jab for a disease that isn't going to kill you? The people at risk were the old people. And do we try to protect the old people? No. No, 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 no. We send COVID patients, people with active COVID, we send them to the nursing homes. That's what we do for the old people. Andrew Cuomo killed over 15,000 people here in New York. Was it done because Social Security is kind of expensive? If you don't have to pay 15,000 Social Security and Medicare premiums, it's kind of a chunk of change, isn't it? Hey, I'm not the one being Machiavellian. I'm not the one being Malthusian. That's literally the way these people think. I've been in rooms and heard them say it. In 1976, I just turned 60, so I'm old enough to remember the 1976 swine flu scam. Swine flu is going to be so bad, it's going to kill everybody. The models say it's going to kill everybody. We have to take the swine flu vaccine. And that actually was a vaccine. It was a legit vaccine before they changed the definition of vaccine. There was only a 1 in 100,000 risk of Guillain-Barré syndrome. And for those on the left, 100,000 is a lot bigger than 1,862 or 2,680. Something like 35 people died from the swine flu vaccine and FDA pulled it. We've had hundreds of thousands dead from these shots. And yet they're still being pushed. It's a crime against humanity. You're listening to TNT Radio.
We're saved. Climate activist Greta Thunberg is suing her native country of Sweden for failing to make the climate better.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Greta Thunberg has been joined by 600 plaintiffs in the Swedish case. Greta is suing the Swedish government for, quote, insufficient climate action. Greta claims that the state of Sweden has carried out climate policy that, quote, threatens our human rights. It breaks the law. So Greta Thunberg actually believes that a lawsuit forcing the Swedish government to act on climate will result in an improved climate? Less storminess? Humans used to believe that witchcraft trials would bring about less crop failure and less food shortages during the Middle Ages. The question looms. Have we advanced since medieval times? Yes, you too can sue your government to improve the weather. What a novel concept. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Imagine being invisible. You could mess with someone's mind, sneak up on them, and they wouldn't know you're there. Even scare them to death. When you speed on our roads, that's what happens. Because no one sees you coming. Think road safety. A message from the government of South Australia.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
That's all you have to do. We'll do all the talking.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And FDA, looking out for us again, has just come out with very precise health standards. You can have 5 rat hairs in a jar of peanut butter. You can have 5. Can't have 6, but you can have 5. You can have 30 insect limbs in a chocolate bar. And yes, You can have rodent poop in popcorn. You can also have mold in your coffee and your jam. Coffee is allowed to contain up to 10% mold. 10%. 10%. We're not talking 0.1%. Right? 0.1% would be a lot. Mold spores are teeny tiny, teeny teeny, teeny tiny, microscopic, teeny tiny. Can't see them without a microscope, mold spores. If you had 0.1% of mold spores in your coffee, I'm talking about the coffee in the tub, in the jar, however you get your coffee, in the bag, 0.1% would be a lot. No, not 0.1%. Not 1%. 10%. In your coffee, they're going to allow. Now, I get it. Regulators say it's not economically viable to have these bits removed, right? Well, here's what I want to know. How'd you like to be the scientist whose job it is, the quality control scientist that works for the peanut butter company? Okay, George, here's another jar. You know, you go in every day, and your job is to look through a jar of peanut butter and count the rat hairs you find in it. But here's the thing. How do the rat hairs get into the jar of peanut butter, right? Typically, it's because there was a rat eating the peanuts, right? And then the peanuts go, and they get ground up and made into peanut butter. You know, it's not like the rat goes and makes a snow angel on the top of the peanut butter jar before the lid goes on, right? Or maybe the rat falls into the mixer and that extra chunky you're getting, maybe that's the extra, right? You got your smooth peanut butter. You got your chunky peanut butter. And then you got your extra chunky. And then no wonder peanut butter is such a high protein food. You got chopped up rat in there, right? That's the extra chunky. Allegedly, I'm joking, folks. I'm making a joke about the fact that there's crunchy and extra crunchy. And we're talking about how rat hairs get into peanut butter. I'm joking. But yeah, so you know, look, de minimis, right? You're gonna have stuff. You're gonna have insect bar. But this is what gets me. It's the precision. You can have 5 hairs. You can't have 6. You can have 30 insect limbs in a chocolate bar. 30 is a lot. You know, I could imagine 1 or 2. Right, a roach or something, a fly is on the chocolate bean, whatever. 30 seems like a lot. But the thing that gets me, oh yeah. For every 3-ounce bag of popcorn, you can have 1 rat poop pellet. Can't have 2, but you can have 1. Okay? So if you get to the bottom of your bag, and you find a rat poop pellet, there's really nothing you could do about it. Because that's within limits. 1. If you had 2, we'd have a problem. But it was just 1. Hope you enjoyed your popcorn. It's the precision that's getting me. Right? But 10% mold blew my mind. 10%'s a lot, folks. I spent literally hundreds of hours on a lab bench doing work. I'm good with this stuff. I understand the relative, you know, I'm good with working with numbers. And 10%'s a lot. 10% of your coffee can be mold spores. That's a lot, right? Take 10 jelly beans or 10 raisins or 10 peanuts or 10 Hershey's chocolate kisses or 10 of whatever you want to eat, right? Take 10. And then realize that one of them is going to be solid mold. Right? That's what we're talking about here. That's a lot. And we don't have a gun problem, folks. We've got a culture problem. Can't call him a meter maid because he was a guy. What's the male equivalent of a meter maid?
A parking regulation enforcement officer.
So this male meter maid is walking along. You know, God love him. Big, fat, slobby looking guy. Just walking side to side because he can't walk, you know, straight. And he's so heavy. You know, here's a poor slob just doing a job, bringing home some income. Kid walks up behind him, shoots him in the head, dead. Or actually, he didn't die. He was shot in the ear and the shoulder, but he was taken to hospital in critical condition. When you watch the video, it's chilling. Kid like fast walks. He wasn't running. He wasn't trotting, but he was doing a fast walk. Just walks right up to the guy, pulls out a gun, and shoots him from behind. In a Seattle suburb, a barber's giving an 8-year-old a haircut. Puyallup, Washington. This guy was shot dead. He's just there, barber. Earning an honest buck, providing a service we all need, well, most of us need. Shot multiple times while he was giving a haircut to an 8-year-old boy. Dead at the scene. He was the owner of the barbershop. Fortunately, the 8-year-old wasn't physically hurt, but I mean, imagine the trauma. You go in for a haircut and your barber's shot dead. And surprise, 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 suspect was wearing black pants, black jacket, and a mask. And in case you aren't aware, that's called black block. And that's what Antifa goes out as. And we all know what Antifa's been doing in Seattle. We don't have a gun problem. We got a people problem. We got a heart problem. We've got a culture problem. Black Lives Matter, unless they're in South LA or the South Side of Chicago or anywhere in Detroit. Can't talk about those black lives. Can't talk about the fact that they were killed by other black lives, right? That's verboten. Can't have an honest conversation about race in this country. That's what Kanye's been talking about. We're eating each other alive. And all the Democrats can do is talk about guns. Got to take the guns away. No, it's not a gun problem. It's a people problem. And I can prove it. Charles Whitman, America's first serial killer, was up on the clock tower at the University of Texas in Austin. The sniper rifle, and he was sniping, killed a pregnant woman and her baby, killed a whole bunch of people. It was professors and students that ran to their vehicles and got their rifles and laid down suppressing fire, which kept Whitman huddled down behind the parapet, behind the wall up in the top of the tower. They laid down suppressing fire so the police could breach the door to the tower, go up the stairs, breach the door to the parapet, and arrest Whitman. Students and professors did that. Can you imagine a college professor now even owning a rifle, much less having it in his trunk, much less having the bravery to go and use it to save innocent lives? Of course not, because guns are evil. And we're so liberal and tolerant and open-minded and evolved. Oh, we've evolved past the need for guns. And so what if bad guys have guns? It's more important that the good guys don't, right? I'm telling you, people, the left wants us dead. Dead. You got George Soros funding DAs that are going to let violent criminals walk out to reoffend. No cash bail. How many murders have we already seen from this policy in just 2 years? Dozens. Well, yeah, he raped a woman, but, you know, he's in a protected ethnic group, so we're going to let him go. No cash bail. So what if he rapes another woman? See, women get thrown under the bus. Feminists, these progressives, these communists aren't feminists. They deny scholarships. They deny NCAA championships to actual honest-to-goodness women because it's more important to push the narrative that a man is a woman than it is to actually celebrate a real woman's athletic accomplishments. Narrative is more important than person. Every single time. Doesn't matter what the allegedly protected group is. They will throw it under the bus to push the narrative. Women, homosexuals, blacks, Hispanics, doesn't matter who you are. The left will throw you under the bus in a New York nanosecond if it will help them advance one of their perverse agendas, agenda items. There's going to be a reckoning. It's coming. We can already see the weather vane shifting, right? People that know what to look for know that that weather vane's wobbling, just like in Mary Poppins. Remember in Mary Poppins, there was a wind and the weather vane would start to tremble a little bit and all of a sudden it'd spin around 180 degrees. And when it happens, it's going to happen fast. It's going to happen in China. I predict that in the next 10 years, and hopefully a lot sooner than that, China being held hostage by the Chinese Communist Party will be over. I think the good people of China, and there are over a billion of them, there are over a billion good people in China that are being terrorized by a relative handful of Chinese that are part of the party. I think they're going to rise up and throw off their shackles. They're going to have enough. They're going to say, no, no more. This is against our 4,000-year-old culture. This is wrong. I don't think the Chinese Communist Party will see 100 years. Right? They took over China in, what, 1949? I don't think it's going to make it to 49. Hopefully, it won't make it to 25. And a lot of people here have awakened, too, from the Democrats. We had another state legislator leave the Democrat Party, said, nope, can't do it. Too far left. Too far left. Helena Bonham Carter came out and defended J.K. Rowling, defended Johnny Depp, said, I hate cancel culture. People in Hollywood are starting to get braver. Even people on the left are starting to get braver. They're starting to see how evil this agenda that's being forced on people are. Bill Maher again came out strong in favor of truth. We need to encourage these people. So what if they're Democrats? If they're people of goodwill, if they're people that are advocating for the truth, we need to support them. We need to just love on them. Because that's what America's about. Just like Matt Walsh said, I might disagree with your conclusions, but I'm really happy you said what you had to say. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.